Hi, good morning again.
Good morning.
I gotta be honest, it's hard to transition to worship right now to speak because for me, I've been recently reading this book by a great pastor out in California. His name is Francis Chan. Some of you might be familiar with him. I've been reading his book called Letters to the Church. And that book is, some of you might be familiar with it, but that book has been something that God's been using over the past couple of weeks to really challenge me in my personal walk with him, especially when it comes to corporate worship and corporate fellowship, focusing on the reality of just the privilege and the sacredness of being able to know God personally, and that it's really all about him. So I'm kind of caught up in that moment into having to transition from that into this and being challenged in that space. I would really appreciate your prayers just that I could, focus in on what God would have us do for these next few minutes. But as was the bumper mentioned, we're talking about taming our tongues. And I think this video from this rapper by the name of Toby Mac it's best fitting to kind of set us up. And then once we watch this video, then we'll dive in together.
Some days life feels perfect. Other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing. We can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Broken, live or die. So speak life. It's twisted. Other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. Rain when you speak life with the words you say. Raise your thoughts a little higher. Use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like
that video never gets old, man. I love that. Speak life. I want to read the chorus to you. It says, so speak life to the deadest, darkest night. Speak life, speak life. When the sun won't shine and you don't know why, look into the eyes of the brokenhearted. Watch them come alive as soon as you speak hope, you speak love, you speak life. The book, yeah, it really is powerful. It's powerful. It is powerful. The book of James is a very straightforward message to the body. And especially around chapter 3, James starts to bring us to this place about an observation that he sees in the church that unfortunately is a characteristic that shouldn't be there. And it's this element of speaking life versus speaking death. So let's read James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. It says, I'll caveat this. The first verse is so convicting, being in this position that I'm serving in today. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make large horses go wherever that we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It's a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come from pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring." James reminds us that what we say has power. He talks about it possibly being, he said, out of the same mouth come praises to our Lord and Father, and also comes curses to those who have been made in the image of God. Growing up, you know, I used to hear this, and you all are probably familiar with this old adage, and actually I want you all to help me with this. There's this old adage that says, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." And truthfully, that's a very noble statement, because the intent behind it is to try to help people rise above the negativity. Don't let people have to say, the critics have to say, stop you from doing what you have to do. But the reality of the matter is, what people say, the words we use, really does have an effect on people. It hurts feelings. It can bring someone who can have the highest point in their life to the lowest level. God helps us to understand that words can be used in such a way to calm people, or it can anger someone. Words are virtually, at the very base, words can be positive and negative. And if you kind of put it in perspective, if you think about your social media accounts or things that you've witnessed, mean tweets that, you know, like the late night show guys talk about, you'll see it's crazy the things that people will post and say and share, and it'll be the same person who says something positive in the presence of somebody else. You know, we got this whole political climate right now. This is a big election year for us in our country. And, you know, people have their views and their perspectives. And actually, one person wants to be in their own, out of their own prerogative, want to post something that's very encouraging, and then just watch the comments. Next thing you know, there's just a big vitriol. How can you support this person? How can you support that person? No, this, and this, and that. All this stuff, these words, people sharing and saying their perspective on a matter. Why is it important? As a follower of Jesus, why should we really take inventory on the things that we say? Well, the first point is this: God knows all of our words. and he takes them very seriously. It's not a game with him. God knows everything we say, and he takes what we say very seriously. Proverbs 18:21, verses 20 and 21, they say this: wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. God knows all of our words. He takes them very seriously. And here's the reality of it. The reason why is because our words reveal our heart. What we say, how we say it, all of it, it really reveals what's going on the inside of us. God sees it. Matter of fact, Jesus says it like this in Matthew 12, verses 35 and 36. He says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. He also says in Matthew 15, but the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. A couple more scriptures that aren't in your notes, but I think it's in the take-home sheet, and I strongly encourage folks to really get a take-home sheet and kind of process this week. Jeremiah says it like this, excuse me, the human heart is most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. Nothing is hidden from God's sight, family. In Chronicles, 1 Chronicles says it like this, for God examines every heart and sees through every motive. So the moments when somebody gets on your nerves and you get that little, God bless you that we really don't mean, but we just say it because we don't want to say something else. God understands that motive behind that. He sees it all. We're human. You know, we all have feelings. We all experience different things. We all have different experiences. We all have different ways of life that we've, walks of life that we've come from, things that we value. We sit in different roles. Some of us are in leadership roles all the time, whether it's through work or through the community. It's a number of things. So just being human and just being real, my feelings are my feelings, and so I'm entitled with how I feel. So quite frankly, because I feel this way, it makes sense for me to be able to tell you how I feel. But God challenges that, because sometimes what we're saying doesn't necessarily produce the fruit that gives him glory. It's not necessarily beneficial for which and ultimately what happens is he ends up ultimately taking the black eye because we call ourselves Christians. I know I make that mistake. I've made that mistake, and later on I'll share a few issues that have a few examples of it that especially that happened within my own household. So no one is exempt from making this mistake with the words that we say. And as scripture tells us that no one on our own strength, we can't tame our tongues. We can try, but we can't. And thank God so much for having the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said he gave us a helper that he sent with him going resurrecting to heaven, and that's the Holy Spirit, and he will help us tame our tongues. So here's the first step in the process, though. We got to surrender our lives to God. The first step in the process of really taming our tongues is saying, God, I give up, man. I need you. I love the song that the worship team sung earlier. Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. Absolutely. My one defense, why I need you, God? My righteousness. Because scripture tells us our righteousness is as filthy rags. Oh, Lord, I need you. Romans 12, 1 through 2 says this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Another translation says, by renewing your mind. Well, how do we allow God, how do I effectively surrender my life to God to allow him to transform the way that I think, which will ultimately improve how I communicate and what I share to those that I have influence of? Spending more time in God's word, in your personal study, praying, fellowshipping, coming to church with other believers, striving to get to know Jesus closer. There's power in coming together as a body of Christ and lifting him up. Small groups, getting plugged into a small group and building fellowship at that level, again, with the focus of getting to know God more, growing in our faith. Those elements matter. That helps us, it brings us to a place where God, okay, I'm surrendering, I'm giving up. And we're giving God leeway to actually start changing and challenging some of the baggage and thinking that we have just as being who we are as human. We understand that we have this sinful nature, and by default, the sinful nature is selfish, which means by default, we believe we are always right because this is what I feel. But God raises a flag on that. It says, no. And for those of us who are followers of Jesus, it's important for us to make sure that we give him leeway in our lives. So we surrender our lives to God. The second step in that process, what that happens is as we get closer to him and we're building that relationship, when we come to these moments where we're having to communicate with words, we're now more selective. We can select our words from God's perspective. So, you know, it's almost like one of those moments where as we've been growing closer to him, you know, and maturing in our faith and maturing in our relationship with him, that when something happens where originally my reaction would have been to say something negative, possibly my reaction might be, I'm not even going to say that on that. Or my reaction might be, you know what, I'm going to pray for you on that. It changes. Or this, you know, someone who offends you in at work or something like that. You know what? You might even just respond and say, I forgive you. It could be a number of things, but God, by the end of the day, our approaches in dealing with these situations becomes more aligned with God's perspective. Psalm 141, verse 3 says it like this. It says, post a guard at my mouth, God. Set a watch at the door of my lips. God, stand in front of my mouth. Because if it's me, I'm more apt to probably say something that just is not going to be aligned with what you would have me as a child of you. Proverbs 10:19. This one's always convicting for me. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Where this is applicable for me, oftentimes, it relates to with me and my kids. I love my children. We have a daughter who's 10, Karis, and a son who's 6. And anytime there's a moment where dad feels like there has to be correction, dad corrects. But dad's known to be a little long-winded. So dad's correction, what should probably be more like a 2-minute conversation, can easily become 20 to 30 minutes with the kids. And our daughter, she's so smart. She knows dad's gonna require my eyes always stay on him, even while he's talking. But you can just see in her, as she's maturing, I can just see it in her face, like, man, if he don't just wrap this up. So I get your point. But it's interesting, you know, the scripture says too much talk leads to sin. So yeah, I'm sure there's some things that I've said to them in that 20 or 30 minute conversation because I'm in my feelings. You did something I didn't like, and I'm trying to help you and prepare you for life because you're going to be on your own when you get out. Or all these other different things, man. And it's like, man, I'm going way too overboard. That's the beauty of having a surrendered life to God and you know, and being able to select the words from his perspective, because there's the conviction and the help of the Holy Spirit who's like, hey, shh, be quiet. Ephesians 4:15, another one. Instead, we speak the truth in love. Some of us, you know, God's blessed by default. We are truth tellers. No matter how it goes down, we are always going to say what it is. Hey, no, that's what happened. But the thing is, sometimes that thing is not wrapped in the best language or way that it can be received as if you care for the recipient of the message. So we just speak truth and we end up hurting feelings and offending people in ways that wasn't necessarily our intention, but the reality is that's what happens. So again, choosing our words from God's perspective, we learn that, yeah, I'm a truth teller by default, but I speak that in love. And if you need some help in defining what love is, check out 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That'll really help what that expectation is and how we communicate. I like this verse in Proverbs. It says, some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. In the reality with us being human as followers of Jesus and we're growing, the truth of the matter is we're not always going to get it right. We're not always going to hit it 100%. We're striving to, but we just won't. So there's an easy step in the process that when we offend people, just what we need to do, and it's this. We just simply need to clean up when we mess up because it's going to happen. You know, we can be on a conference call with a coworker. As a matter of fact, this week, I had an experience where there was a coworker who was offended by the comments of another coworker, and it was not pretty. By the grace of God, it did not cause the meeting to go south, but we were able to get it, you know, get that reconciled. But the truth of the matter is, when we mess up, man, we got to clean up. My wife and I love Adoee, man. She's a great woman, and recently, and probably say within the past week or so, we had a moment where we went to the gym together and we just started talking because by the grace of God, we were able to at least get an hour in today uninterrupted, which we really like. So we're in the car on the way back from the gym and we're talking, and I'm thinking the conversation's going great. You know, we're having that soul talk, that heart to heart. We're hitting some stuff. And then the next thing I know, I just hear Adoee say to me, "You don't understand me." And I paused for a second, like, what's she talking about? And then she proceeds to get out the car, close the door, and go in the house. And I was like, what happened? I was like, what? Because I literally was baffled in that moment. I really paused and said, God, I don't understand. I remember it just as clearly as it is in that moment. What is she talking about? But I had offended her in something that I said in the comment. And here's the weird thing about this, clean up where you mess up. And so I got into my pride because I felt like, you know what, my intentions were good. I wasn't doing anything wrong to you. And I let that tension between us last for about a week. And you know, by the grace of God, we were able to reconcile, but it started with me having to take that humble step, humble myself and confess like, hey, I did you dirty. Or I didn't do you dirty intentionally, but I apparently did you dirty in my comment to you, and I'm sorry for offending you. That was not my intention. And we were able to work it out. But it's hard, man. It's hard. We gotta confess our sins. When we have wronged someone or said something wrong, we gotta own it and put that pride aside. Psalm 32:5 says it like this: finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. And you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. James 5:16, make this your common practice. Make this your common practice. Naturally happening. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. But Jesus, being the master teacher that he is, he says it best. Because sometimes what we can do, we can get in this place as followers of Jesus and think, you know what, so what, they're upset. You know what, God, I'm doing your work and I'm good with you. So I'm just gonna keep my focus on you, God. But even Jesus says something that's so profound, says, watch this. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar, in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, Leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Jesus says, if you are aware, even if you are in my presence, you're praying, you're worshiping, all that good stuff, and you believe, and in that moment you remember that someone has an issue with you because of something that you've said or you've done, he said, put that worship and stuff on pause and go call up that person and go fix that relationship. Man, that's powerful. And it's challenging. And it goes back to the point of how important relationships are in the kingdom of God. We got to do it right, family. And the reality is we're going to mess up. So that's why we have to make, like James said, a common practice. We have to make repentance and confessing our sins and admitting our offenses to people and then restoring those relationships. We got to make that a commonplace. It's hard to hear. It's supposed to be. But hey, there's beauty on the other side in terms of there's a relationship that's not lost. And ultimately, from God's perspective, because remember, he's always focused on not just us individually, he's focused on all people. He desires no one to perish. And the best examples for him, the best quote-unquote advertisements for him, are his people. And if we're not living a life in such a way with which we're speaking life into people, or if we mess up in something that we said and we're not confessing and trying to repair those relationships, if we're not doing it, he takes the black eye. It's hard. It's hard because, again, by nature, our sinful nature, we're selfish. But thank God for the Holy Spirit, our helper, that Jesus sent to be able to help us surrender our lives, humble ourselves and surrender our lives to God, to give us a godly perspective and that we can choose words that are aligned with his word and aligned with what he says is best fit. And that in the process of there being a moment, because he knows that we are perfectly imperfect people, in moments that we mess up, he still has a way of encouraging us, hey, here's the process of going to simply make this thing right. I want to close with this image. This image that you see here is an album cover from a Christian artist by the name of Seth Static. And he's amazing. And what I love about this image is it's a picture of a guy, well, people are just on the subway. And on the left, you see a guy who's an artist who's writing, he's writing lyrics to a song or possibly a poem. And everyone on the subway, they have on, everyone, including him, on the subway has on headphones. But what's amazing about those headphones, all of those headphones are connected to his pen. So he has an opportunity to speak life and influence all those people just with the power of what he writes. We all have spheres of influence, family, from literally our biological families, from friends, people in our communities, coworkers, or just daily acquaintances. How are we using our words to speak life into them? James has let us know that we shouldn't be having poison and life-giving words. Poisonous words and life-giving words should not come out the same mouth. It's a challenge. But thank God we have a model in Jesus, and thank God for his word that we have something that can help us work on that. So I strongly encourage you, even as the worship team comes on stage, I strongly encourage you, fam, and I'm right beside you. Let me make that loud and clear. I have not fully attained it, like the Apostle Paul said. I have not fully attained it, and I'm striving. Because again, in my own sinfulness, I'm thinking I'm right sometimes. Because I'm the authority, I'm the parent, or I am the spouse, or I am fill in the blank, whatever role you play in life. But the truth of the matter is, God doesn't care about that. He cares that we are his children. And because we are his children, this is how we should properly reflect his kingdom and his culture. That we speak words that are life-giving, that impact for his glory, that build people up, like the little girl in the video, when she went and whispered to the people lying dead on the ground and they got up. That's what God expects us to be in every place that he has put us in life. So let's keep growing together. Let's keep working. Let's commit to heart to working on this. Because can you imagine? Can you imagine what could happen if God's people chose to speak more life and not give into the way of the world or give into our sinful nature and being selfish and thinking that we are right in everything, but we chose to choose words that are aligned with his thinking? Could you imagine the impact and the change that we could make for his glory? Because it's all about him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for not giving up on us, God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word, and thank you for your model that you give us daily. Father, thank you for giving us hope that in you, God, we can do all things. God, this area of taming our tongues, God, we need you. We need your help, your insight to be careful and mindful of the things that we say. God, we do not intend to, God, we don't even intend to hurt people sometimes, God, but we do. Help us with our pride that we can go and make things right where we need to. In your name we pray. Amen. Family, there's going to be some folks on the side on the prayer team just to pray with you as we transition to a part of worship and a time to process what God shared. And if you need prayer, don't hesitate. Just slide on up, man. Somebody can touch and agree with you. And if not, you know, just keep letting the Lord do his work in you, and let's keep growing together. Love you all.